Hello, everybody.
Hello, my name's Asya.
And my name's Manvir.
And we're the Audacious Aunties.
I don't think we've ever called ourselves the Audacious Aunties. It's just we are Audacious Aunties. We're not the Audacious Aunties.
Well, technically, we could trademark the name, you know.
We could.
But we're not
going to
do that.
No, we're not.
Sorry, we're audacious. That sounds weird.
No, it's not, because we've always said it like that.
You're right.
I know.
A mistake. I'm so wrong. I'm sorry to everybody who was listening to that. It's not right.
Thank you. I feel vindicated. But no, you're leading the episode today, so I should probably shut up.
I am leading the episode today. I feel like I've been thinking back to our other episodes, and I feel like we need to bring back the banter. And I think, because I feel
Ow! Wow!
No, wait, let me explain myself. We're super bants.
Okay.
Including in the past two episodes, but the past two episodes have been super, like, info heavy, and yes. This is also going to be info heavy, don't get me wrong, but I think there's a lot of promise for there are a couple of things that we're about to discuss that I'm really excited to discuss because I want to hear your thoughts on them.
Okay, cool. Did you not want to hear my thoughts on like any of the past episodes?
Are we not
like meant to give information? I love how you're like, we've been giving too much information to people, we should really stop. Let's not even use Wikipedia anymore, guys.
We should just roll back on what we're telling people because, you know, the more we inform people, the better. Oh my gosh, so I've been watching Downton Abbey recently.
Oh god.
I didn't realise, firstly, I would recommend anybody who watched Downton Abbey when they were younger, rewatch it now because your whole perspective will be changed. I cannot even tell you, I feel like I'm watching a different show because my attitude to all of the characters and plots are just so different. And like, I realised back in the day when I used to watch it, mm-hmm. there was just a whole lot of like internalised misogyny and societal standards that fed my worldview.
Yeah.
And now that I've undone all of that, my life has changed. Anyway, Daisy, I used to find her really annoying, but now I really sympathise with her. And she progressively gets woke in the later seasons.
Aww, like you with watching Downton.
And it's because she's like getting educated, and then all of the like traditional people are like, dear, she shouldn't be learning the education because then she'll know more. And Daisy's all like, down with the institution.
Okay.
And I think that's beautiful.
That is. I thought this was like going to go back to something. Though,
so
you know?
This goes back to we should educate the people more because it means they'll feel empowered to take down institutions themselves, much like Daisy.
So get woke, watch Downton Abbey again, kids. This is what Ash has been rambling on about for like the past minute and a half.
Okay, I'm going to like cut to the chase now. Wait, how are you?
Oh, I'm good! I'm really good. I mean, I know that in our conversation before we started recording, I was like, I'm not good, Asya, but now I'm really good.
Thanks for the people, am I right, kids?
I know, right? You need to smile every day, and it's going to be okay. Asya, how are you?
I'm good as well.
Oh, that's
great. I was listening to Christmas music today, so...
Oh.
I've just been in that vibe.
What's your favourite Christmas song, go?
Oh, God. Last Christmas.
Oh, God. My favourite, you know, I'm a traditionalist in this sense. I love Fairy Tale of New York. I think it's a real banger. But then, like, recently... People might get angry at me because I only just recently discovered this, but there's a song by Joni Mitchell called River, which is like has Christmassy vibes to it, and it's the cutest song to ever exist. I really love it. I feel like you haven't listened to it, Asya, because your music taste doesn't surpass Glee 2015.
Look, yeah. I haven't.
But no, watch it, listen to it. It's really cute.
I will.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
So we're now roughly like 6 minutes in, and I still don't know what we're learning about today.
Okay, kids, buckle in. We're finally going to get to the point of this episode. I think it's a miracle we fit all of this into 25 minutes, but here we are.
Honestly, me too.
So today we'll be learning about the Mexican mural movement, which happened in the early 20th century. Gonna learn a bit about like the lead up to it, what it was about, and then I've picked one or two artists for us to delve into. The one of them is quite mainstream, but the other I'm hoping is sort of like a little spice, a little panache to the top of the episode.
Well, this is very exciting.
So, the Mexican mural movement.
Mexican. Sorry, I should stop taking the piss out of you any given opportunity. That's really bad.
Yes. Yeah, so, in the 1910s, 1910 to be specific, and then the decade after that, there was the I'm gonna have to edit this so much.
No, you won't. I think this is brilliant. I don't think you need to edit any of this at all. Keep it going. Yes, queen.
I just want to make sure everybody understands that there was a revolution in Mexico. So they had a leader of the country. Been there for ages and people were getting tired and they were like, this is ridiculous. I'm pretty sure it was something like 38 years or something.
Uh-huh.
Let me check that wasn't just a fake statistic.
Okay, and then you can actually tell us who the ruler was as well.
Yes, exactly. So
it wasn't Diaz, was it? Was it Diaz?
Diaz.
Okay.
Yeah. And he... a 31 year long regime.
Ooh.
And so there was a revolution to overthrow this government.
Mm-hmm.
And this lasted for almost 10 years.
Uh-huh.
And eventually the revolutionaries were successful and that reign was ousted and in came the new government. And this new government was built on socialist ideals and sort of collective power and like a new horizon for the country, and that's something that they really want. I can't imagine how stressful it must have been to be in the middle of a revolution and also have World War One. But anyway,
I mean, I don't know, because how involved was Mexico in World War One? Because like world wars are still a very westernized perspective, and I don't know whether or not Mexico actually was involved in World War One at all.
That's true,
but actually, I'm sure they were thinking about it, and I'm sure they were very stressed about it, you know, in the middle of a revolution.
Anyway, the point, the revolution isn't the, well, it's kind of the important part of the thing, but like it's not where the mural movement started.
Okay.
That we're specifically talking about. So when the new government was formed, they wanted to bring back hope within the country because it was so broken after so many years of strife, and also wanted to unite the country with a common goal, bring around a view of the future. And so the Mexican mural movement, interestingly, I didn't know this, was a government commissioned movement where they got a whole bunch of muralists, but there were three particularly famous ones.
Mm-hmm.
And basically got them to make murals across Mexico in different cities and different areas.
Mm-hmm.
That represented... Oh, can you still hear me?
I can hear you, but like your picture's blurry. No, I can still hear you.
It's me.
I can still hear you. I promise. Oh no, I can't anymore. Whoops. Aww. Well, this is peak. Now I'm just talking to myself. It's really funny, audience, because as we are like listening to Asia talk, I'm also on the Wikipedia page for the Mexican mural movement, and it's really jokes because she's literally reading off of it. I mean, aren't we all, to be fair, but it's just always funny, you know, seeing her train of thought and like anticipating what's gonna happen. I'm talking to an audience, but this audience still like hasn't listened to this episode, so I'm talking to no one really. Hi.
Where was I when it disconnected?
You were talking about how there were like three main painters who were like commissioned to go to different cities and paint murals.
Yes.
Why were they doing this? Like, why to begin with?
So what I was saying was that basically the government wanted to unite the country again and re-inspire hope within them for future generations.
Uh huh. That is so beautiful.
And they really just wanted to touch back to their roots. So Mexico actually has a long tradition of mural painting. Like, even it, the legacy of mural painting in Mexico goes predates like the pre-Hispanic period to the ancient civilization called the Olmecs.
Whoa. And
this tradition of mural painting continued under Hispanic rule, and sort of throughout its history, throughout the history of murals in Mexico, it's always been used to promote an ideology. So there was a lot of murals were used to show stories and ideas of Catholicism back when there was that was a strong ideology in Mexico. And so it's always been a dominant form of art in Mexico to sort of express what the sentiments of the country are.
Okay.
So in the 1920s, when the revolution ended, they wanted to reassert the ideologies of socialism, collectivism, unity, and tap back into their pre-colonial legacies and sort of shed the weight of capitalism and tyranny and that kind of thing. So there were these, the three main artists that I mentioned were David Alfaro Siqueiros, Jose Clemente Orozco, and Diego Rivera.
That's beautiful. No, you did. I appreciate it. I smile because I love you.
Thank you very much. If we all just pretend that I did that correctly. And they became known internationally as Los Tres Grandes, or the Big Three. And they, it's interesting because they, all three of them had been to Europe at different points in their lives. And when they started to paint these murals around Mexico, they included a lot of like different artistic styles like European modernism and cubism and sort of incorporated that into all of their murals. And essentially what these murals depicted were the lives of working class people, the tyranny of capitalism, a lot that showed like the suffering of mankind and the horrors of war, and which I get, to be honest, it doesn't sound very inspirational, but there we are. And they basically wanted, they were charged with forming through the artistic world this new post-revolutionary identity. And they also formed the influential labor union of technical workers, painters, and sculptors, which could glorify the Mexican people and bring their artistic efforts to wider attention.
I appreciate that so much. That's really smart and really, like, impressive.
So, what happened is that by the end of the 1920s, the government almost, like, turned on the muralists and this whole project, because they started to want to control what the muralists were muraling. Is that a verb?
The muralists are muraling. No, let's go with that. I like it.
They wanted to control it, and these muralists were having none of that. And so they actually went to America, and I'm pretty sure two of them were exiled for enforcing their murals, despite the fact that the government no longer wanted this because they believed the murals were going against their interests as a government.
Typical government stuff, you know.
I know, right? And so this is what I wanted to discuss with you, because I think the turn that the artists and the whole movement took is quite interesting.
Okay.
And so these muralists went to the USA, and they began becoming quite interested in like capitalism and industrial innovation. And Diego Rivera, one of the muralists, made a series depicting men working with machines and technology, and it very much seemed like they'd sort of entered into the capitalist ideology.
So they weren't critiquing it, they were like all for it.
I think it's more complicated than that, because they, I think they still had held their socialist values quite strong, but they at the same time were sort of taking advantage of the American system.
So a bit like liberalism, kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Okay, cool.
And it's interesting as well, because when they went to America, to the USA, they were a big part of the socialist movements that started up in America during the 1920s. Uh-huh. So there's kind of like a weird combination of capitalism and socialism on both sides of the Americas.
Yeah.
I feel like I would have to read a thesis to fully dissect exactly how the ideologies ended up developing and changing.
Like, what particular part of, like, America, was it like New York, like Harlem, like, were they like part of like the Harlem Renaissance or something?
No, so David Siquelios was exiled from Mexico in 1932 and he moved to Los Angeles. And Jose Orozco moved to California.
Oh, okay, because so I watched the Frida Kahlo movie the other day, the one with Salma Hayek in, and in it they talk about, like, Diego going to America, and I think he went to New York.
Yeah, maybe he did.
I could be wrong.
Oh, he did move to New York, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so those two of them went to the West Coast, and then Diego went to New York.
Oh, that's so interesting, either way.
Yeah, and then he got married to Frida Kahlo, mad. Crazy how, I feel like we have this conversation almost every episode, but crazy how famous people just end up, like, knowing each other.
Yeah, it freaks me out.
I feel like it's definitely not as wild as we make it out, but my mind is genuinely can't wrap its head around it.
It makes sense, you know, like, you know, everyone's going to jump on the bandwagon of, like, the first person to get famous that they know. But still, it's still wild. Like, especially, like, how history records them as, like, being individuals.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're like, oh my god, they talked to other people.
Exactly. Yeah. So now I'm sort of going to talk more specifically about a lesser, well, I wouldn't say lesser known, but, like, just a different muralist to the main threat.
Okay.
So there was a muralist, Elena Huerta de Arenal, who was a woman and an artist.
Okay.
And during the mural movement, she actually did three mural projects, and she created the largest mural work created by a woman in Mexico.
Ooh, this is exciting.
Which I just think is really great.
So what's it called?
Very good question that you asked there.
Oh, is that not the one that we're going to look at?
No, it might be. I mean, I wasn't going to look at any specific murals.
Oh, okay. No, let's look at
the murals they want to look at. You
know? No, I want to look at one specifically. Come on, shoot it to me, Asya.
Okay, well, the mural that we'll be looking at today is actually the... I'm so excited for this.
I'm sorry.
It's happening as we speak. No, I'm on ancestry.com. One second. It is the
Audacious Aunties.
I don't know why it's not showing me a single mural. One second, let me type her name in again.
Okay.
And then murals. Isn't this a mural? Type in Revolución Cubana.
Okay. Ooh.
I think that might be her mural. Let me just double
what's her name?
Her name is
Elena. What?
Elena Huerta, Huerta.
Yeah.
De Arenal, Arenal.
Arenal. Okay. Is it the one where there's like a lot? No. Actually, I think you're right. I think I can find it. Is it the one where there's like a lot of red in it?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm on the same one as you. It's all good.
I mean it would make sense if this was hers because it's on a page about her life.
Okay, cool.
So it would be super random if it wasn't, you know.
Yeah. No, you're right, this is by her, don't worry.
Okay, cool. Well, what do you think, Mav? It's like quite red and blue, you know.
It's quite red and blue. Yeah, no, I really like it. I'm trying to understand what's going on. So it's about the Cuban Revolution. But are we talking about like the Cuban Revolution of like 1962?
I believe so. She was a muralist for a lot of her life, and okay. She started in the Mexican mural movement, but like obviously it developed from there. But the Cuban Revolution of the 1950s, yeah.
1950s, whoops. Oh god, I'm just relating it to the Bay of Pigs invasion that we had to learn about. No, I really like it. I really like, as you were saying, the reds and the blues, just because I feel like it frames the picture very nicely. If everybody gets this up, y'all. It's quite interesting how like the blues are on the outside framing it whilst the reds on the inside. And it seems like, I don't know where I'm going with this, I'm not gonna lie, but the blue water does seem to be like, thank you. The blue seems to be like watery, and like people are almost like drowning in this water, or like they're on a boat or something, and that might suggest them potentially like fleeing the revolution, whereas on the inside the red could represent what's happening within Cuba. I don't know how you feel about like, because there's like a lot of like, I think there are some like guerrilla soldiers, and there seems to be some like twisting rope maybe, or like a chain, but I don't know what it's linking to, which is really confusing.
I feel like it just represents the chaos of revolution, because a lot of these murals seem connected to revolutions,
yeah,
and this really represents sort of like the chaos and the frightening nature of revolutions. And there's also a lot of men in this picture, which I think sums up a lot, you know.
Oh, about how men cause chaos.
Yeah.
This is true. I think we should always remind people of this. No, but I really like it. You're right.
I am right.
And yeah, it's also really interesting how like in the middle bit, the faces are, they're like, there's bits of the skin that are like coming out of the faces. They're not like one put together face. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah.
And it's really kind of freaking me out. And I don't know what it's meant to mean. So I'd really like it if someone could tell me.
Well, that's the test for all. Audience, tell us what it means,
and then email us at audaciousaunties@gmail.com, or find us on Instagram and tweet at Twitter at audaciousaunties, yes, on Instagram, on Audacious Aunts on Twitter.
Beautiful stuff. Anyway, we should wrap up because it's been going on for a while. I'll probably,
this is true,
cut out a lot of the random chat, but not a lot of, no, it, because I said I wanted to bring the bounce back.
Exactly. I liked our random chat. I loved how much you went on about Downton Abbey.
It was for all a valid point.
Totally. Get woke, kids.
But yeah, I feel like there's so much more we could discuss about the Mexican mural movement. So
I agree. And I'm also really glad that you did highlight an artist, you know, who wasn't like very big either, and also was a woman. You know, it's all about bringing different perspectives into the lens.
Exactly. I'm excited for next week. Intrigued to see what we discuss.
So am I.
You know, another week in 2020. Am I right, kids?
This is very true. Stay woke, stay fresh, and have a really lovely week, guys.
Yeah, we're really excited to see you again. Everyone.
Why did you say it like that? Why? You know what, you keep doing you. I really appreciate that.
Thank you.
Okay, bye everybody.
Bye.
This audio was brought to you by Manveer Dobb and Asya Iftikhar.
We don't know much, to say the least.
But if you would like to share your thoughts, knowledge, criticisms, fan mail,
then pop us an email at audaciousaunties@gmail.com.